Hey guys, welcome to the Kevin and Fred Show. My name is Kevin Kaufman. I'm your host, and I just want to say thank you for taking some time out to listen with us this week. Do me a favor, if you don't mind, before we get to today's guest, head on over to ratethispodcast.com. That is ratethispodcast.com/NLA. That stands for Next Level Agents. ratethispodcast.com/NLA and leave us a review, or just go to any podcast player that you prefer and look us up, the Kevin and Fred Show, and please leave us a review. That is the best way to support our efforts here in the show. All right, let's get to today's episode. All right, guys, we're back on the Kevin and Fred Show, and recent returning guest, Jay White. What's going on, dude?
Man, you tell me, man. The market continues to change. Rates continue to go up, right? It's fascinating.
It's funny. I mean, we recorded not long ago, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago?
I think it was 2 weeks ago.
And things have changed even more since then, no doubt about that. And it is, gosh, dude, such a fun time. I don't know anybody who isn't somewhat excited about this, who's got a really good real estate business and understands the skill level that it takes. But I do know, and for sure, I know a lot of people that are also like really worried and have no, like they're just, it's, I think it's just sinking in right now of like, this is going to be a tough time. Like we're in a tough time, not saying 2008 tough time, houses are going to, you know, housing values are going to crash by 50 to 60%. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's a tough time to be in business, and it's going to continue to be a tough time to be in business for a lot of people for the foreseeable future. And so I'm excited because the whole reason why we're here to talk about is like skill-based stuff. So welcome back.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, it's funny. We talk about it shifting really fast. I saw where Gary put out something on Inman, but this week or last week, like this is going to be the second worst number of transactions in a long time in 2023. We're going to see less transactions, which means less opportunities, which means the agents that have skills are going to rise to the top, right?
Yeah. A lot of people are going to get out of the business for sure. Just this morning, Fred and I had our bi-weekly call with our coach. We were talking about one of the things we talked about were like literally just the sheer number of transactions in the Phoenix market. And they're super low compared to obviously what they have been. But I was kind of like, you know what? I caught myself kind of smirking because I was like, when I got in the business, that was actually, I remember that being a decent month.
Like, that was a big month. That was a big number, right?
Yeah. But, and luckily now, like knock on wood, now the average sales price with those numbers are like four times what it was then. And so like the paycheck goes a little bit further. Like, you know, Fred and I started business in 08. I remember very specifically doing a business planning, exercise. Fred and I kind of doing our business plan for 2011, or maybe it was 2011, and like using an average sales price of $114,000.
Yeah.
For business planning and monetary planning purposes. And I'm like, dude, you know, you can really only divide $3,000 so many ways. I'll take this over that. And yet I'm excited.
And salaries weren't a quarter of what they are now.
That's for sure. Like they were definitely less, but not a quarter. Right. So things change, stuff adjusts, and I'm excited. I know you're excited too. So let's jump in that, because you kind of hit me with something, and we started talking about, because at the Built How event, which by the way, I know Ben is going to do another one in the spring somewhere. So you guys got to get there for the next Forward Coaching Built How. Somewhere in the spring. I really wish they'd get
it. It's going to be late March, early April. They haven't set a date yet.
Late March, early April. Yeah.
It seriously was one of the best, not just real estate conferences. It was one of the best business conferences I've ever been to.
For sure. It was great. And one of those was because Michael Phelps was there. And so we were talking about like his mentality, and with you being a basketball guy, like I'm a diehard Kobe Bryant. Like he's my favorite basketball player ever. His viewpoint and his approach to practice was something that always impressed and inspired me. And that Mamba mentality, I recognized that same thing in Michael Phelps about 3 minutes into his talk. I was like, oh, this dude
thinks different. Yeah.
Yeah. He's literally thinking the same way, but it was just about swimming. And so we were talking about your team. We were talking about like scripts practice and how impactful that's been. You know, it's funny. Right after we re-recorded, the next day I had lunch with Craig Reeder. I don't know if you probably know
Craig. I know Craig.
Craig's a good friend, known him forever. Brian Gubernick and I, when we owned a Keller Williams franchise together, brought him in to teach class. And I'll never forget the day. It was September 30th, 2014. Because the next day was October 1st. And my team, for the first time ever, practiced scripts because of what Craig said in that classroom that day, in our training room. And it completely changed the landscape of our business. I mean, I can literally, one of the scripts we practiced was a sign call script. And I can literally go back and track 20, I think it was like 26 or 27 closed transactions more the following year to that one script, which we never would have practiced had Craig not come and taught that class on September 30, 2014.
Was that 90 listings in 90 days?
Yeah, it was. It was when he's doing the 90-day thing.
It's like his great class.
Yeah, dude, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Because it's all about basics and principles. And so all that to say, you kind of dropped something on me on our last conversation about practicing scripts more than once a day. And so you got my attention, bro, because of like the Michael Phelps thing and the Kobe Bryant. I just rewatched watched the Redeem Team on Netflix, and just thinking about that mentality, that Mamba mentality, that Michael Phelps mentality of practice and how important that is. So when you said practicing scripts twice a day, you got my attention. So we got to dig further on that conversation.
Okay, cool. So I'll tell you why don't we reset for everybody that maybe didn't pick up the first one, right? When I said, you know, we've brought the Mamba mentality to real estate, really what we're doing is saying, hey, look, if the average real estate agent might practice, let's be honest, average real estate agent doesn't practice, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say average doesn't, but let's say about the average skilled real estate agent.
Right. So maybe they practice once a day or three times a week or something like that. And so a lot of the agents that we've partnered with over the last year are in their first 6 to 12 months in real estate. Like a lot of new agents have partnered with us and they've been like going Mach 3. And the only skill was, I got a hand raiser. Let's go see a house. And then how much cash do they have?
Yeah.
Right. Like that's just speed to lead was the only skill that mattered.
True.
And then maybe some creative offering type thing. Right. So we recognized real fast, like we went actually, believe it or not, when we were at Built Howe, I think we went 10 days without a contract. And I was like, okay, that's where the Michael Phelps, Kobe Bryant, like we've got to get back to basics and build some skills really fast. And we're starting from, we're probably not starting behind everybody else because nobody else has skills either, right? Because they just haven't had to have them, and 80% of agents are 3 years in the business or less.
Yep.
So we're not starting from behind, but we're going to get really behind really fast if we don't start fast. So I said, all right, what does this look like? And Jacqueline Smith and I were talking and she goes, this is what my team's doing. And I was like, okay. And then the Kobe thing happened. And I was like, what if we doubled this? What if we doubled down and said, okay, so for all of our rising stars, which is our agents within their first year, we're going to have an accountability meeting first thing on Monday. We're going to have an accountability meeting on Friday mornings. And that really is just designed to say, hey, what are you trying to accomplish this week? And then did you accomplish that this week?
Right.
Right. So it's just shining a flashlight in their corners.
Love it.
But then it was like, okay, so how are we building skills around this? So what we started doing is saying every day at 11:30 after lead gen, we're going to focus on shift scripts. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning, we're going to focus on lead generating scripts so 3 days a week.
Okay.
But then at noon, we're going to focus on scripts that are current to this market, right? So interest rates, rising prices, limited inventory, garbage inventory, that kind of stuff.
Dude. Yeah. I love that. Is a whole other thing. I want to double click on in a minute. Keep going.
So that's really the double down. And it was Kobe, you know, it was that Redeem Team Netflix special where he's like, you know, we're here to win the gold. We're here to work. What are y'all going to the clubs for?
Yep.
And then by the end of the, and so what I did was say, I told my wife, I was like, look, I'm going to have to show up differently for the next few months, because if I lead it, they'll show up and they'll do it. If I leverage this out, it's not going to go the way it's going to go in my head. And it's not going to be the way I want it done. It's not going to be to the highest level it could be.
Right.
So yeah, I started leading those group sessions. And so I'm, you know, the first, if I'm not the first one in the office, I'm the second one in the office normally, right? Amanda shows up pretty early. Katie shows up pretty early. There are operations. So our operations staff, like Katie gets there at 6 a.m. sometimes, right? Because she can get stuff done. But it's cool because then, I don't know, we just started our days earlier and we're doubling down on the practice. So, because the goal is, and this is the vision for what I share with our partners, our agents, right? 3 months from now, if you guys are practicing twice a day, so twice a day is, you know, 10 times a week on a 5-day week. So that's 40 times a month on a 4-week work week. Yeah. Now all of a sudden, so you've had 40 script practices a month. How many script practices do you think the average agent has? And they're like, you know, 5, maybe 10,
maybe
15 for a good one. And you're doing 40. Right. So then now multiply that out over 3 months, just getting from now until Christmas. So October, November, December. And they were like, oh, I see the gap widening. Right. And that's where it came from. That's where that mama mentality came from. Kobe used to say I would practice 4 times a day because the average NBA guy was only practicing 2 times a day. And if I did that every day in 10 years, nobody can catch me. And that was the vision for this.
Yeah, I love it. So you actually walk them through the math of that. Is that what I understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful because that is that, like, you can see the separation so quickly. Even just in a couple month period of time, when you think about the average agent, kind of what they're doing, or just even compare against yourself and what you were doing the last 12 months, right? Or the last 6 months versus the next 6 months, like how much better will you get versus the old you from 6 months ago? Like a ton better. There is no doubt about it. And I think why this is even more important is kind of the thing I pointed out earlier, that I wanted to sort of double click on, which was, I think you called it shift scripts, kind of like what's specific in the market right now. Our coach posed a fun question to Fred and I today about why consumer behavior is a certain way, is behaving a certain way right now. And so we were talking about a couple of things, but I shared with him. I was like, so funny. I just saw this meme yesterday.
I shared it yesterday.
Yeah, you did. It's like
buyers think it's 2008, sellers think it's 2021, and yeah, real estate agents are describing the market by pointing to words on a TikTok, right?
Yes, on disappearing words on a TikTok. And that's literally what's going on. And so,
because they don't know how to talk about it.
Yes. And so I was like, well, this is really, I shared that with him because it's funny, but it's also very relevant. And it is the problem, which is there's an education problem from the agent to the consumer right now, because the average consumer, if they're getting their info, let's say from TikTok, or God forbid, even worse, the news, believe it or not, like they're going to, no wonder they're scared and they know what's going on.
Right.
You just go look at any period of time. You know, actually my coach shared something up about a personal friend of his that bought a house in Hollywood Hills. And it was in one of the worst recessions ever. I think it was like in the '80s or night. Like, he's like, literally friends and everyone's like, what are you doing? Why are you buying that? It's the very worst time ever to buy. 20 years later, happy as a clam. Another friend bought something in 06 at the very pinnacle of their market. Sitting here in 2022, happy as a clam that he bought it.
Yeah. Well, so if you take any 10-year segment, right? So we did that with a couple of properties in Charlotte, just different price points and in different areas of town. If you bought it in 2007, what was it worth in 2017? And we went back and found some that sold, like, so, you know, actually doing the work to go find the same house that sold in 2007. And dude, they're always there in every 100% of the time they were worth more in 2017.
Yeah. I'm not saying you're never going to find an anomaly, but there's another thing too. I think it's the Case-Shiller index. You can take a look. There isn't a 10-year period of time where you're not good. And my argument has been, I've probably shared this on this podcast a few times in the last month, is like, it, not only are you good, it makes you look really damn smart.
Because my dad has a statement. Yeah. My dad has a funny comment. You know what makes people geniuses in real estate? A decade.
Yeah. So it's funny. That's basically what I've said. I said a little, not as nice. Your dad has a better way with words than I do. That is a good way to put it. And yeah, like a decade makes you look like a genius because it's real estate after all. So again, kind of going back, I think that's all the compounding effect of something that's good that oftentimes looks like it's moving like a snail. So like maybe our skill level as we're practicing every day, but you compound two practices a day instead of one, you look up in 6 months and in 6 years, it's like, whoa, you are so far advanced over everyone else. Or you buy a house today where the rates are not desirable compared to what you think they should be because how used you got to it. Like, and look what happens in 10 years from today, like in a decade, again, you will look like a genius. And that's just the compound effect that the calendar has.
So you talk about the compounding effect, because we really didn't talk about that. You know, one of the things that Michael Phelps said at Built How that it's funny, right? Like, he wasn't my favorite speaker, but there were some things out of there that were really, really good.
Yeah.
Right. And he talked about how most swimmers take a day off. And when they take a day off, they actually lose 3 days in training.
Yeah.
And described like what that looks like. And so my thought was, okay, so if we're practicing twice a day, the reality is that we're getting up here. Maybe we have a little bit of a reset on the weekend, but we're still building really, really well. My biggest thing with people that are practicing once a week or three times a week, whatever that looks like, right, is like, are you really developing that skill set? So one of the things that we're doing is like, we'll take 2 or 3 days on a script because we're doing it twice a day. So we don't, like, I feel like if you're doing it once a day or three times a week, I mean, once a week, three times a week, once a day, whatever, you're having to touch different scripts and you really don't actually master anything.
Yeah.
Right. You're just memorizing a script and then regurgitating it. And then whether you'll use it or not out in the real world is different. We're actually just, we're getting into that unconscious competence really fast.
You know, what's funny is now that you say that, looking back to the story I shared earlier about like the sign call script that my team, we actually only practiced that script for the first few months because there was a lot of power in it, first of all, but it was the easiest script that we had access to. It was the first script we had access to that we liked. And we're like, okay, and this could impact us because we carry a decent amount of listings and, you know, we're not converting those, you know, we're not converting the sign calls. So we kind of camped out there for 3 months. And I'll bet you for that first 3 months, I'll bet 85% of the time we practiced that sign call script. And you know, I didn't even think about it at the time. Like we just did it because it seemed like the lowest hanging fruit. But to your point of like this compound effect of like, we didn't just get kind of good, you know, Aaron Lobovic, I'm sure, or
yeah.
Know of him, like Aaron nailed it. Like Aaron, when that was right when we started working together, and he was the first guy to volunteer to go every single day on scripts practice. And he nailed that inside and out. We nailed that inside and out because we spent so much of our time on that one script. Like now we have a script book that is, I don't know, 100 pages long, I guess.
All of them are.
But the truth is we used like four. We really used four. And then the others were used for like situational, hey, let's talk about this, like when you run into this scenario or that scenario, right? It was kind of like one-offs, but for the most part, we had like a couple foundational scripts. Dude, that was it. Like, and I didn't think about it other than, you know, especially now the way you put it, like, yeah, that's the compound effect of actually just staying super narrow on even your scripts to then get that much further in advance.
Mm-hmm. So it's funny now because we've been doing it for a month and these guys are getting really, really good. And so now it's weaving scripts in and out of each other. So like starting out with an open house script, running into an LP mama script, setting an appointment, it's fun to see them now become, now they're in grad school, right? Because they've been doing it so much in the last month. You know, we've gone from the script looks like this. Cool. When can we meet? Like, when can I get you in this house? That's what the script was. Are you available this afternoon? Because if you're not, it's going to be gone.
Yeah.
That's the script. That's what we've been doing since COVID. If you do that script now, if you're trying to set the hook that fast, people are like, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
I'm out. Yeah.
And whether it's commission breath or I just don't have enough scripts, right? I don't have enough confidence to have a conversation with people. Like, you have to get more relationship. Like, you know, our LP Mama script is our bread and butter conversion script. We're spending so much time on it. And it's one of those things where it's like, okay, everything that we have from lead gen funnels into that. And then that funnels into the appointment that we're setting up to do a listing appointment or a buyer appointment.
Yeah. Well, I think media induced / just market induced, like the scarcity factor that we've had over the last few years, you could use that week of a script and it worked. And now that doesn't work because we don't have the scarcity of it. For the listener, Jay, that doesn't practice scripts or isn't familiar with LP Mama, just because you've now said that a few times, are you cool sharing that? Like just the outline, like now we
yeah, the framework of it, right? Is LP Mama. So L is location, P is price, M's motivation, A is are they working with an agent, B is mortgage, have you talked to a mortgage person and gotten pre-approval, and then A is setting the appointment. So it's literally going through I don't love the term script, because to me, if I've internalized it enough, it just becomes how I think and talk.
Yeah.
And I think script sounds rehearsed. It's what actors learn, but the best actors internalize it and it comes out in their words and it's organic and it's authentic. Right. The yeah. problem is most people don't spend the time to do that. Our guys are getting so good that now it's just, here's the questions that I'm asking, and they're just flowing. And if it's an investor, it might be a little different question than if it's a seller or if it's a buyer.
Yeah. I heard somebody say it this way, and God, maybe it was you. It's like, learn it, memorize it, internalize it, and then personalize it. Like, to me, a script, and I felt that way too. It's like, I'm going to sound like a robot. And then once I realized, well, I'm actually already using scripts in my business. So now I'm just going to use more that it can be beneficial to me, because I'm not good at this part of my, you know, this certain skill in my business. And it changed the game for me. And what I found for me is learning the scripts actually allowed me to be more human and more in the moment with the other person, because I didn't have to go, I'm going to listen for their point so I can have my counterpoint. I could literally just be listening to them. And I already knew I've got a direction to take the conversation. I have this framework for taking the conversation, right? And so that way I can keep us, me and the prospect, on track to make sure we all get what we want. And so, like, to me, it's just it's a definition or a viewpoint or how we view the word script. Script isn't a dirty word. It's kind of like recruiting is not a dirty word. Scripts aren't a dirty word. Like, it's about how we view those things, right? And if we view scripts as they make us sound like robots, then we're not going to ever be comfortable with it. But if we view scripts as this is going to help me get better and more skilled at my craft and ahead of my competition and able to help my clients better, then it's amazing. And it's just like a rocket fuel for my business.
Mm-hmm. And we're teaching our guys, right? Like, make it personal, build the relationship, and earn the right.
Yeah.
And when you go with that mentality of, I'm going to make it personal to you, right? Like, I want to know what's important to you as a client, as a prospect, and then build the relationship. Well, you don't build the relationship by vomiting like how great I am. You build the relationship by finding out what's important to you, and how do I win with you? How do I lose with you? What are your previous experiences? Like, what's your perspective on all of this? And what are your expectations from this process and event? And how, you know, when you look back on this and you go, wow, that was a great experience, what has to happen? And so just getting personal and building that relationship earns me the right to say, you know, I've invested time that no other agents are investing right now. And so immediately they go, you know, people go to an open house and it's, hi, thanks for coming to my open house. Here's some cookies.
Yeah.
Right. Cause they don't know what to say. Like, somebody asked me the other day, like, you do cookies at open house? Like, no, we came to meet people that want to buy and sell real estate, right? Like, we didn't come to a cooking class. So the problem is they don't know the right things to say. And so they do these other things.
Yeah. Like, they heard they should do an open house. They're not clear on why or how.
Right.
Yeah. And that requires digging deeper and asking those questions. And then when you find your answer, like, I need more skill. and I need to execute a certain way, like actually then taking the step to go further, like we said, like using that Mamba mentality, that Michael Phelps mentality of like, I'm going to practice and I'm just going to be the best realtor, real estate agent, real estate professional that I possibly can be by sharpening my skills.
Somebody shared with me the other day, I don't even know if I asked for the feedback, but I was given this feedback, is that our team is a little bit intimidating to other people around us, right? That are in the real estate space. And I find that kind of like, I didn't know how to feel about that for a second, because I feel like we're super approachable and I've never really said, no, I won't help you to anybody. And I see people on our team helping other agents in the marketplace, whether they're on our team or not. I mean, whether they're in our firm or not, like I've seen our agents doing that. And so like, I've got this, what I think is my perspective on it. And then somebody shared that with me. And immediately when I shared that with a couple people on our team, they're like, well, we got to do something about that. And I was like, I don't know. How does Kobe feel about that? Like, I'm okay. I'm okay being a little intimidating. You know, Mike Fleming did a coaching call with me a long time ago when Brian had to go somewhere, and he talked about, you know, the indoctrination and how you should be different than everybody else. And I thought that was, you know, so I've gone through that whole process of like, I do think we're different, and I think it's okay to be different. I think it's okay to be intimidating to somebody that's not in the know. Right.
You're intimidating to somebody who's not on purpose and isn't clear on what they're doing. So I very similar experience. I remember. So we arrive on scene at this office. I'm pointing because it's literally a couple hundred feet away from me in 2008. And the top team in the office at that time was an REO team. And everyone felt that way about him, that he was unapproachable and intimidating. I never felt that way about him. He was always very kind and gracious with his time, whatever. But I also never bothered him when he was working. You know,
that's what they hear. That's what they see, right? Like, yeah. You know, and they talk to other people and they're like, well, this team has this family feel. I'm like, man, our team has a family feel. Like if you knew what was going on, some of our agents that are sick and what we're doing with for their families. And like, we have that, but at the end of the day, we don't come to work to hang out. Like we come to work to work.
To work. Work is first. Work is first. Family is second, right? Mm-hmm. The whole family thing is, that's great. You can earn the right to be family. But I think what they do is they experience the purpose and the on purpose attitude and the focused attitude about, I have a job to do right now. And even though you may be in a moment where you're not it's not that urgent, but you're doing something in a focused way or in an on-purpose way, people look at that and go, oh man, he's busy. I can't talk to him. I can't talk to her. She's busy. Look at her. There's no way. Look at it. She's not even smiling because they're focused on doing their job.
And like so when you're walking through the office, you're very like, right. And it's like, yeah,
they're not approachable. Really? Did you actually approach them? And so I say that to go, dude, that's a good thing to me. That's good. Do you want people to have feelings about you? No, but I can't control the way somebody else feels. I would rather be an example mm-hmm. of the way you might want to also go about running your business than to just be the most popular guy in the office who everybody feels they can come and talk to whenever they want because I'm not doing anything. So to me, that's good. Like you guys should continue to be intimidating or whatever the word was that they used.
Well, it's funny. Like that's the word that showed up. I don't know that that's actually the right word, but I do think, you know, okay. So it's like, if I was going to be, I love sports analogies, right? So like when I was getting recruited to play college basketball and I got to go visit somewhere, it was like, hell yeah, I was intimidated.
Yeah.
And there's also an excitement too. Right. So,
well, for the,
I think that's an interesting thing for the person in the right mind space. It's not intimidating. It's exciting.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, for some people, like, show me. I'm like, dude, that's possible. I'm on. I'm into it. Other people are like, oh, my God, I could never do that. And so that's the difference of intimidating versus inspiring. And it's just, you know, it's a big difference. And I think, let's face it, obviously, I don't know anybody who would have said that about you or your team, but just knowing that kind of mindset in general, having gone through that myself, which is why we ultimately removed ourselves from like the bigger brokerage like space and had our own space years, you know, decade plus ago, was because I don't want to be average. I don't want to be like the average real estate agent in the United States makes like $37,000 a year. Like nobody got their license to do that. I mean, I didn't anyways. And so average and approachable are not two things I want to be. Like if that's what that means. And so I'm okay with people misunderstanding me and not knowing me. And I think you should be too. And so should your team, because they're focused on hitting their goals. Because you, like, dude, you're a good guy. You give back. I'm guessing the people around you also give back and are good people and teach and pay it forward. That's enough. Like, you don't, not everyone needs to see you guys as like super kind and approachable just because you're on purpose.
Well, here's the thing. I think there's a difference between approachable and hanging out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Walk with me. We can talk while I'm walking.
Yeah. We can talk while I'm walking. Right.
But no, I'm not going to go sit there and we're not going to go, you know, pour a new cup of coffee for you and fill up your water bottle. And
I don't hang out in the water cooler.
Yeah. No, not at
all. Right. Like that's not the deal.
Nothing good happens there. Like there's no time for that.
Nobody's hitting their goals at the water cooler.
Fact. That's a big fact. All right, dude. Anything else you want to, before we tie a bow on it, you want to add to this whole conversation about skill set and sort of like the compound effect of skills and practice?
Man, honestly, I think it explains itself. It's just something that you've got to say, all right, look, if we're going to get better and we're going to get, Brendan Burchard talked about that, like the way to get better fast.
Yeah.
Right. He's got a video on YouTube. It's super cool. Like it's a good video. Watch it. I think it's black and white if you're looking for it. Success leaves clues, right? The most successful people are the ones who really double down. They really hone their craft. They really dig into not just, I see so many agents that just, they spout off scripts that you go, stop saying that. Right. Like you don't even know what you're talking about. Literally. And it's wrong. Yeah. And it's, you know, the whole date the rate thing. Like you don't know rates are going to go back down to 3.5, 4, you know, traditionally they've been around 6.5 to 7, right? Like we got to be careful with these conversations. Cause the last thing I want is a client coming back to me after their 2-1 buy down expires and them going, I can't afford this house anymore. And you told me it was going to appreciate and you told me I could refi and now I'm stuck. And now we're talking about another REO world.
Which is why we got to have these skill-based, I think, would you call it like market appropriate or shift type of scripts that we're practicing, these dialogues that we're practicing.
They're financial conversations, right? You can call them scripts or whatever, but it's, you know, I sat down with an agent that started with us on Tuesday today, right? And we were looking at the people she's been talking to and where she's getting stuck on conversation and not knowing what to say with them. And I was like, well, let's talk about, you know, a lot of them are renters. Let's talk about the cost of renting versus what it looks like to buy. And here's the financial impact of this. And here's the financial impact of this. And it's just a math problem. And on the same mortgage payment that they could afford that they were already paying in rent, you can buy a smaller home or an older home or a townhome in our market. And you're at the end of a year from a cash flow standpoint, you're $10,000 better off. And she was like, no one's ever showed me that before.
Yeah.
Like it's just a financial conversation. Like how do you become someone that actually knows what they're talking about? That's not just going, well, you know, you should date the rate.
I feel like I need to have like a sound clip right now of Allen Iverson going, we're talking about practice.
We're talking about practice, not the game,
Practice. That's exactly.
You know, gosh, who was it? I don't remember whether it was Ben or Chris or Stu, or I really don't remember who it was. I think it was actually Chris. He said, you know, script practice is to show up and practice. It's not to learn. Right. So like our goal is for them to take the script and go home and learn it on their own time. So, because when they come in, like it is scrimmage time. It's not like we need to learn how to shoot a basketball time.
Yeah. Good point.
right? And so they just, our script practices are 30 minutes long and they became super purposeful.
I'm going to give credit to Stu on that one because he's the nicest of the three. So
I wish I knew who said it first. I think let's give them all credit, right?
Well, they all get a third credit for that, I guess.
That's fair.
That's a good one, man. That's scripts practice is where you practice. It's not where you learn the script. That's a good one. Dude, Jay, this was fun. I think this conversation again needed so much. And I hope that I know that there's listeners right now who are going, yeah, I got to get my shit together on that. And I'm going, this is going to be a chance to make a move. And when I say make a move, I mean like literally like make a decision, a new decision in my business to set myself up so I can start to separate myself from my old self or my competition and be set up while everyone else is worried in 2023. Like you could be, not just surviving, but actually getting ahead.
Yeah. There's going to be a ton of opportunity for the people who really want to take advantage of it.
So much, man. I'm so excited about it. I know you are too. And so are a lot of our listeners. So Jay White, thanks again, dude, for coming back. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, guys. That was another show, the Kevin and Fred Show. Reach out to Jay. We'll have his contact information stuff down below if there's anything he can do. And talk to you guys soon.
Did you enjoy today's podcast? Join the Kevin and Fred community, part of eXp Realty, and partner with us today. You'll get free access to live trainings 2 or more times a month, live events and in-person masterminds, digital downloads to help you run and scale your business, and much, much more. To learn more and join our community, visit kevinandfred.com/contact and contact us today. Not ready to join our community? No problem. Continue enjoying all this great content on our podcast for free.